You're entitled to go ahead, v'lachzorbo. That's no problem. But to say that the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim is not the Rambam in Yad HaChazaka, you're talking to two different audiences. And by the way, this was Yavetz's approach, that the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim is the Rambam at his worst, because he simply imitated the paradigms of Greek philosophy, talking to an audience who needed that, and this is not valid for today. That the legacy of the Rambam is not his Moreh Nevuchim. The legacy of the Rambam is his halacha. Came Rav Kook and refused to accept this. Let's turn to Rav Kook. This is the thrust, by the way. This is the thrust of the entire essay. It is something that has to be considered over and again. He generally wasn't very long-winded, of Kook, but he wrote in such detail about this over and again to answer every single one of the Yavetz's claims, that you know that this was uppermost in his mind. He would suffer absolutely no attack against the Rambam as being a Rambam the first and Rambam the second.
Mm-hmm.
No way. There's one Rambam. Meaning that it is as valid for the yeshiva bacha who learned in Lithuania by the name of Kook as it is for any philosopher, la'avdil, who will be sitting and learning in any university at any time. There's no division whatsoever. Let's read the Rambam. I've numbered the lines. We'll start with line one. Let's do the first page and a half. Es kol divrei ha-kavod, all of your words of honor, v'ha'aratza, and appreciation, ha-nechonim, which are correct, asher hevi ha-rav ha-mechaber zal, which the Rav ha-mechaber, in other words, Yavetz zal, le-rabbeinu ha-rambam zatzal, concerning the Rambam, ra'ui la'amid b'shura ha'yoter kivuda b'sifluteinu, is worthy of occupying one of the most prominent places in our literature, so that volume Yud Beis of Toldos Yisrael is an authoritative source in trying to understand the Rambam, and you have 200 pages on the Rambam. The whole volume is the Rambam. However, by excluding from this rule, in other words, Yavetz's adoration of the Rambam, et ha-sefer ha-mada'i ha-merkazi shel ha-Rambam, the central scientific work of the Rambam, shehu ha-more, which is the Moreh Nevuchim, shematach alav kav shel tohu, which he crosses out, limtoach kav, means to draw a line, to cross out. You know, like you take a law blank or a check and you void it. Bekav shel tohu, that this is worthless. Tohu vavohu, that kimat keosa amida shem madadu lo hamekatregim. Yavetz, you know how far you went? Almost as much as the mekatregim, as the opponents of the Rambam, shekamu negdal bechayav ubedaros asmuchim acharav, that who rose on the scene in the life of the Rambam and in the generations thereafter. In other words, what he is saying is, you are doing nothing more than awakening a machlokes that existed in the 13th century because of how far you went. I'm not saying that you can't criticize the Rambam, but the extent to which you discount his philosophical validity in Moreh Nevuchim is throwing back the hands of times to the 13th century and that whole machlokes. And therefore, lo nuchal haskim lo. We have no way to agree with this approach. Bidoroseinu, in our generation, v'chamadoros shelefoneinu, and generations before us, at which time, sheshaktu haruchot, when emotions quieted down, v'shemesh hatztapa shel ha-Rambam, and the righteous sun, or the rays of enlightenment of the Rambam, persa et oral pnei kol ofek hayadut, went ahead and enlightened every horizon within Yadus, is nichnas gam hamoreh b'chlal sifrei hakodesh shehim kinyanei haTorah. You must include the Mara Nevuchim among those holy Sfarim that are Kinyan Torah, that are possessed of Torah, so that when you learn it, you don't learn philosophy. There cannot be this dichotomy. It's Torah that you learn. Okay? V'chalila lanu linhog bo minhag shel zilzul. Heaven forbid that we go ahead and discount it. Zilzul, it's worthless. V'chalvoteinu ayom, our obligation today, is lo rak ladun es dvarav l'kaf zchus, not only to favor the Rambam's words, that he was correct, ki im gam lehitamek bahem, to go ahead and to learn it with a depth of understanding that you would anything else. Ulematzot et midotav betor midotera shel Torah. And lematzot means to suck. It comes from the same word as mitzitza. To suck out the sukkah from it as if you are looking at midos of Torah, and as if you are looking at the essence of Torah. And kemo b'kufei hilchotera shel Torah, just as when you're learning a halacha, the essence of halacha, yeshnam panim shonim v'chilukei deos, halacha, there is a Beis Hillel and a Beis Shammai, there's a Rabbi Yehuda and there's a Rabbi Meir, there's a Rabbi Shmuel and there's a Rabbi Akiva, there's an Abaye and there's a Rava, there's a Rav and there's a Shmuel, there's a Rabbi Huna and a Rabbi Yosef, there's a Rabbi Eliezer and there's a Rabbi Yeshua, and so on down the line. This is intrinsic to halacha, that we have different perspectives and we look at it, and it is its beauty, it is its strength to be able to see that these two perspectives can go side by side. Ve'anu no'agim le'kayem b'hem, line 11, and whenever we see this, when it comes to halacha, anu no'agim le'kayem b'hem es midat ha'Torah, how do we view these divergent opinions of machlokes in halacha? So the midah, the quality of shall asay oznecha ke'afaches, open up your ear, so let ushma and sponge it in, take it in. Shma divrei hametaharim, listen to those who say that it's tahor, and v'divrei hametamim, and those who say that it's tomei. Divrei hamazakim, those who say pro, v'divrei hamechayvim, those who say kan. Divrei aposlim, those who say no, v'divrei amachshirim, and those who say yes. You listen to both. Mipnei shekulam nitnu miroei echad, because ultimately all of these perspectives in halacha derive from the same Har Sinai, from the same roe, Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Af al pi shein linyan halacha lemaaseh. Now, he says clearly, when it comes to the practical application, halacha lemaaseh, the practical application in life, is yeshna hachra'a miyuchedet la'achat min ha'deot. We're going to decide one over the other. But once we make that practical application, that Beis Hillel is over Beis Shammai, that in no way allows anyone to say that Beis Shammai is wrong. You know, in the case of Beis Shammai, who paskins like Beis Shammai? You know who paskins like Beis Shammai. There are Rabbeinu Shel Olam's Bezdin Pasuns like Beis Shammai. Our Bezdin Pasuns like Hillel. You see. Is Kach Midazu Atzma Noheges Behilchos Hadeos. The same procedures, the same attitudes must continue in Hilchos Hadeos, in philosophy, Ve'emunos, and beliefs, Sheheelu Chachmei Yisrael. That Chachmei Yisrael throughout the generations, Hamuchzakim Le'avos, who are the major intellects, the Avos HaUma, Gedolei HaTorah, V'Anshei HaKodesh. The same way we have different perspectives when it comes to Emunos and Tadeos, to beliefs and to attitudes. Is Chalila Lanu LaHakel Rosh Negdam. God forbid that you go ahead and say his Shita doesn't count. His Hashkofa is no Hashkofa. I've got the Hashkofa. And God forbid to decide alachas me deoseihem on any one of their opinions or their attitudes, shehem dvarim chitzonim, that they are external to the essence of the kedusha of this person. He was just talking. You know, he was talking to a bunch of ladies auxiliaries. They came, you know, I don't know, pioneer women. He was talking to a Zionist group over there, so he had to say something. He had to say a Dvar Torah, so he taught them about anthropomorphisms or korbanot or something. You know, you got to wean a human being away from things. In other words, you cannot go ahead and say that these are beyond the limits, the territory of what Yisrael, of Kedushas Yisrael. Kal v'chomer, all the more she'asur l'nehog min hagzeh neged de'osef shel aviyem shel Yisrael, is all the more if you're not allowed to do this to anyone else, then you are not allowed to do this neged de'osef against the opinions shel aviyem shel Yisrael, the father of all b'nei Yisrael, ha-me'ir enei hadoros, who went ahead and enlightened the eyes of generations b'torato, with his Torah, b'chochmaso, with his wisdom, u'kedushaso, his frumkeit, his holiness, none other than who? Rabbeinu HaRambam, zichrono livracha. I'm not going to let you do it. And if you just take and go to line 22, he makes the point stronger. I'm not skipping anything or God forbid, pulling the wool over your eyes. All right? But go to the end of line 22. V'acharei sheharambam, whereas the Rambam, sheRabbeinu HaRambam, sheTaras Hashem haya mekor chayov, that the source of his life, in other words, his elan vital, his whole life was devoted to what? To Taras Hashem. Is matzas levavo ne'eman l'Hashem, whose heart was proven to be faithful unto God, ule Taraso, and to God's Torah, ve'amo, and to God's people, be'elo hadeos, he says that's the decision. You know how you decide whether a person's Torah is right or wrong? What was the thing that pushed him all the years? Was he out to make a bestseller on the market, and that's why he wrote The Guide to the Perplexed? The man was out to save the world for Yiddishkeit, and indeed he did. And if he saved the world for Yiddishkeit in his parish Amishnayas, you know, that was the art scroll of his day. You know, the art scroll did not invent art scroll. You know who wrote the first art scroll? It was the Rambam. The first art scroll on Mishnah was the Rambam. In what language did he write his parish? Anyone know? Arabic. You know why? Because the Jews didn't understand the Lashon of the Mishnah. And I want you to learn Mishnah. Huh?
Same controversy also.
Okay.
No,
Yaakov, there are 100 people over here who wouldn't look at me because I very, very comically have used the concept of art scroll as somewhat of a joke. Chas v'sholom, and look, one day if they'll want, they'll say that they saw that I was pregnant. I mean, their mommy saw that I was pregnant for 6 months, if that's what they want. They don't begin to understand what's being said here. The Rambam was perceptive enough to have a bestseller. He was the first art scroll, where the language was a barrier, but the ideas, the desire to learn, had to be addressed. No? Does anyone criticize the Rambam for writing it in Arabic? Chas v'shalom. Impossible. Today, Baruch Hashem, we're going back to the Arabic. Kapach has saved the Arabic for us to make sure that the Hebrew translation is miduyak, is exact. But his was the first art scroll. Line 23, Halozah davar ba'atzmo hu atzad ha-machriya. That in and of itself is the deciding factor. Is the Rambam a frum Rambam, or is he a shegetz? Is he an opportunist, or is he someone who is interested only in olam haba? Is he someone who is an egotist, who had to make the bestseller list, or did the man talk seriously that he is only interested l'hagdil Torah u'la'adira?
Jay's criticism of Orchot Tzadikim is that you don't know who wrote it.
No.
And therefore, if a sefer has an unknown authorship,
mm-hmm.
Somehow we can't study that as well as we can where we know the author, because we can't describe criteria of consistency.
It's a problem. Oh yeah, yeah. There's what is brought to mind. You see,
I mean, if you didn't know who the Rambam was and you had the Mishneh Torah, it still wouldn't it have been the same book, or wouldn't it have been?
Almost. That's what I was going to say. It depends on the scope of the work. No question about it. Rambam is so head and shoulders in scope above an Orach HaTzaddikim that you would have to say that this work is without question a major contribution to Torah literature. The same thing happens with the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch, after all is said and done, we really don't know who the author is. We can surmise. Mm-hmm. But the scope of the Sefer is so incredible that you see every single mitzvah is the work of a Talmud Chacham par excellence. Orach HaTzaddikim is the same. You'll have problems with it. I hear what you're saying.
But the Rambam straight.
Okay. So, who are his sources is enough to substantiate. It definitely is a problem, because we would always like to see the total scope.
But now what you're saying is that, what Ralph Cook is saying is that if we know the life of the man, which we do in the case of the Rambam, this gives authenticity to his writings.
You cannot say it any better. Not only authenticity, but by virtue of the fact that his writings are an extension of his personality, a personality that was devoted all of his life to Kedusha and Torah, you're not going to say that I don't hold from this Rambam because he wrote Greek philosophy. If you knew the personality, that it was a so totally integrated personality, that anything that he did, whether it was on the political scene or on the scene as a doctor, there was no division in his personality. It was a comprehensive and consistent Torah personality.
Well, no, we have that problem today, don't we?
Who says no?
Like that, people look at the author
says no?
And say, this author, we can't even bring his book into the yeshiva.
Who says no? I'm not saying no. If it didn't have relevance to today, would I want to, you know? This is the point. These things are universal problems. You may just be discovering them you may now just be sensitive to it because you're in a particular position. But these truths exist throughout.
Every time I bring a book from the library.
The machine can't hear you.
Every time I bring a book from the library, or I want to show Jerry something or whatever, to illustrate a point of color or whatever, and I show him, here, look over here. Immediately, go away. Let me look at the front page. See who wrote it.
Why not? Why not? Isn't there?
If you find the truth of what he said can't stand on his own, I can't think for myself. I got to see this guy has brought up this thing for me, and therefore
I don't think you do any differently. You may not do it as quickly, but you know, I know you a couple of months, Mike. You know, you did the same thing. You did the same thing.
I found that conservative Shulchan Aruch Klein, and I knew he was conservative and whatever, and then I started reading some of what he said. I found a lot of it was nice.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, I'll look at it. I know the source. Well, I'll be a little skeptical of what I read, but if I see something that appeals to me, hey.
Excuse me, did you ever know this Klein?
No, I know what he said.
Okay. That he taught in a place which is called or identified with conservative. Same thing with Shaul Lieberman. Shaul Lieberman taught at what's the address? 2080 Broadway. I forget. Jewish Theological Seminary. The work that he did in Yerushalmi and Tosefta is therefore conservative. He came to Yerushalayim. You know Yerushalayim respects no one who deviates one iota in style. Came to Yerushalayim. Did they throw stones at him? They didn't throw stones. Some may have had some problems with him. All right? And a little... Came to Yerushalayim and he sat and learned and finished.
Some people... in Yerushalayim... people I knew who were very firm and that respected him.
Well, yeah. It's a little funny. But he never, never did anything to my knowledge or to public knowledge that would mark, I'm talking about Shaul Lieberman, that would mark him as not a Torah, as a non-Torah personality. Never. contemporaries of his, like Ginsberg and Marx and Margolis. I mean, this is a different breed altogether. Or Solomon Schechter. This is a different breed altogether. Let's go further. Shein bahem davar sheyuchal hatil tina b'leiv. For within the works of the Rambam, there is absolutely nothing that can bring tremors to your heart. Olid chos es misha who, or to discourage anyone, mikedusha satoru kedusha sisrael. That after you get finished with anything and everything that the Rambam writes, there's nothing at all that will alienate you from Torah or from Kedusha Yisrael, or the holiness of Torah and Bnei Yisrael. V'hachra'a b'zeh, and the ultimate decision is hina sunah lefi ha'matzav ha'nafshi. And this is one of the biggest chidushim in my life that I ever learned from Rav Kook. Before I get into the text, let me tell you what it is all about. I've been working on this for years to substantiate it from, you know, my particular orientation, which is psychology. What you like is a perish. What I like is a perish. Are chosen based on your personality and my personality. And you think that's what's so profound about it? I'm telling you, it's profound. We filter out all kinds of perushim that don't sit well with our psyche, with our personality. Now, if you want to know what kind of a Ben Torah you are, okay, you know what you need first? You need analysis. And within analysis, we'll determine what your personality needs are, and I will bet you 10 to 1 odds I can tell you what Perushim you'll favor, what Masechtis you will like, who turns you on, why you prefer Chassidus and why you prefer Litvish. Yeah? Listen to Rav Kook. V'ha-hach-ra'a b'zeh, and the decision of one style or another, hinesuna, is rooted lefi matzav ha-nafshi, the psyche, utfisas, and the ability to understand hatziurim haruchniyim, these spiritual concepts shel kol echad, of every individual, lefi tchunato, according to your qualities, v'hakol lefi mashehu adam, and according to what kind of a man you are. There are some who need rational, intelligent, logical, absolute truths. That's your personality. And there are others who cannot be bothered with this rational stuff. You know why? Because then it makes religion cheap. It makes Torah a philosophy. And these are all psychological matters. Ein shum safek, as far as Rav Kook is concerned, there is no doubt, sheyeshnam anashim, there are those types of people, shedeyos miyuchados, that certain hashkofa, po'alos aleihem pu'ula tova, work on them in a positive sense. And what does it do? Certain philosophies, lekasher et libam, to tie their heart, to weld and solder their hearts, likidusha u'letohara, le'emuna v'la'avoda le'torah u'le'mitzvah. Depends on how you're motivated. And on the other hand, yeshnam anashim acherim, there are other people, shedafka deot acherot, it's the exact opposite approach. Heina mesugalot, they are the exact opposite approach, is capable, lekarev et libron, to bring them closer, l'chol advarim ha-kedoshim v'aniskavim halalo. So it depends what turns you on. And what he is saying here, what turns you on depends on what kind of a personality you are. V'im ha-deot she-nit-parashu b'sefer ha-moreh. And if what was stated, the philosophy, the approach that the Rambam used in his Moreh Nevuchim, hit-imu, were congruous, l'ruach kedushato, to his Holy Spirit, v'tokef emunato, and his insistence on his emuna, udveikus avodaso, and the clinging to his avodas Hashem, hakedosha v'ha'amitis, and he arrived at truth, shel ha'anak ha'gadol, this giant eagle, me'or ha'kodesh, the source of illumination of kedusha rabbeinu zal, Okay, go to the line 33 to finish the sentence, 35. 35 to finish the sentence, because there's nothing more than adjectival superlatives over there. Second word, ain shum safek, therefore there's no doubt in my mind, sherabim me'od, that if this is what turned on the Rambam, that there are many, many hinam b'Yisrael existing in among Jews, she'ele hadayot, that his same approaches, alulot destined lif'ol alehem, to work on them et hafalat hakodesh hazot l'tava, to work on them until you take the shitas Rambam and you arrive at good. V'im gam yimtzu rabim she'inam yecholim lekasher et ma'achei rucham, and if there are many who cannot tie in, cannot lekasher, to plug in et ma'achei rucham, their psyche, ma'arechet is a set, is a components, the components of their psyche. Be'emunat omen, with this faith system, in kol ha'deot ha'ne'emorot b'sefer ha'morah, with all of the hashkofa that is said in the morah, so big deal. Harashut netunah lahem, you have absolute permission lekasher et machshevet liban, to plug in, to tap in, gamim ha'deot shel gedolei Yisrael, to others asher salalu lahem derech acheret, who went in another way. Aval, when you go in another way, chalil alonu, heaven forbid, lahotzilaz shel chitzonius, to go ahead and decry and spit with laaz shel chitzonius that this is external to Torah, the kal vachomer and all the more calling it shel yivaniyut, that it is Greek, vizarot, and it is totally foreign, like avodah zara al elu hadeod, asher kedushatam, for their sanctity is Rucho HaKadosh, is identified with Rucho HaKadosh Rabbeinu HaGadol HaRambam Zal. There cannot be any split personality, not in a Rambam. And you're not going to go ahead and say that this is Greek philosophy and therefore we don't accept it.
Is this what you're saying is your fetish? The fetish of your fetish? The psychology is that...
I awoke to an interesting, what to me was a chiddush, that the religious personality makes his or her selection in matters of religion and emphasizes matters of religion based on those things that serve their psyche in a particular way. If someone goes ahead and is a big machmir in a certain area, it's because that chumrah serves the personal psyche needs of the individual. If someone is a teacher, and here's where I've done a lot of work, I come into contact with many young rabbonim and many young teachers. When I say many, we're talking in the hundreds. Some who were students of mine and come back to gain insight as to how to attack a problem. Some who are colleagues of mine. I especially worked on this in Yerushalayim when I had to teach psychology and another course in education to future teachers. And I tried to show them that if you just let me understand your personality, let me do some basic analysis, I will tell you why you will emphasize one Rashi over the other. I will tell you that. And not only that, I will tell you why you choose the Ramban over a Sfarno. Yeah? I'll tell you that. And I will tell you why you avoid the Ibn Ezra and maintain that only the Ramban knows truth. Got it? And the same thing with Chassidus, that you only can get it from Chassidus, and there's nothing in literature, Torah, and so on and so forth. And it is a function of your personality. Simple as that. That was the Chiddush. This is exactly what he is saying here. The chiddush of the Rambam was that he was able to figure out a certain personality need, and he wrote for that personality. It wasn't a schizophrenia in him, it wasn't a split personality in him. He was addressing that personality that you don't identify with it because you have different components of your psyche. That doesn't make the Rambam wrong. Yeah, only when you are, one is a bird brain, okay, Or, as we discovered in a major, major study of psychology, Milton Rokic, the open and the closed mind, you are a closed mind. You cannot handle the diffusion of technicolor. It's got to be one way. You see. Now, the open and the closed mind exists not only in Torah learning, but lahavdil elef alfei hevdalos, in any and everything that you do. How you arrange your drawer with your underwear and your socks will depend on whether you are a closed mind. Do you ever see the sign, a clear desk or an orderly desk is the sign of what? Of what? Of a sick mind.
I have that.
Okay, all right. Okay? Because it serves your particular personality needs. On the other hand, there are those, if chas v'sholom, I know a person whom I can call 2:30 and 3 in the morning. There's absolutely no problem in ringing the phone because he is up, putting away the things on his desk so that when he wakes up in the morning to once again start working, he has an office at home, that there is absolutely nothing on his desk. If he cannot do that, he would not sleep that night. What are you talking about?
Go to Washington House.
No question about it. Oh, there you are, the Yeki, as opposed to, the Yeki by definition, so to speak. It's so difficult to, the need for precision at all costs, in and of itself, at all costs. Now, there's no question that such precision brought us to scientific frontiers that we couldn't have otherwise been able to achieve. All right?
Einstein was a Yeki?
Interestingly enough, Einstein was a Yeki, but his salvation was that he had it all in his head. He had it all in his head. You know, I used to write notes on an envelope. I mean, that is so un-Yeki.
No, but he said there must be order in the universe. God can't play dice.
100%. 100%. No, what can you do? That was the chiddush. And that I was able to apply it in the area of Torah, that I know what turns you on. And I know the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim you're going to take and you're going to spit at. Not because there's anything wrong with the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim. It does not give you the balm, the salve, and the spiritual calories that you particularly need. But the other one needs it. Without question, the other one needs it.
Who's the author of the individual and the collective?
Gordon Alport.
Is that?
Chairman and professor of psychology at Harvard University. Okay? Frumguy also. Had theological training. There is a monograph that you ought to read, guys. The Individual and His Religion, where as a psychologist he is capable of defining what the components are in a religious personality. Has absolutely nothing to do with Torah.
And
what I'm saying is, after you get finished with that, and then you start to evaluate what you hold as important to the chinuch of your children, then you'll see already, you'll have to, if you understand what he is saying, you'll have to look at yourself and say, wait a minute, I've chosen this not because it is truth of Torah, but it serves my particular psychological needs.
Well, it sounds like my point is, does that mean you can just stereotype?
Yeah.
You say that he has written something that describes a person with a religious person.
Sentiment, yeah.
Yeah, and say that you can stereotype all people with religious sentiments?
Yep.
In certain areas.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And stereotype would not be a negative kind of connotation.
No,
but quantify.
Yeah,
but there are categories. 100%.
Categories. Yeah. Categories. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You can.
You're saying you can't, that you could take all religious people and give them a certain kind of personality.
Yeah.
No, that's not what he's saying.
Yeah, that too. That too.
I don't understand. I mean, if that's.
I know what you're afraid of, that I'm going to pull out Freud and say that religion is a neurosis.
No, I'm just saying.
No?
It seems to
that
be
some
opposite.
People bite their finger and smoke and go to the racetrack and we shuckle and davening, right?
No, but I mean, if you're saying that there's a Rambam and there's Hasidus, you can have religious people who are Rambam people, you can have religious people who are Hasidus people, then you couldn't say that a religious person that all religious people have the same kind of psychological makeup. I mean, you have two opposite kinds of psychological makeup.
Lubavitch destroyed your example, so you better pick a new example.
No, let's hear it. What's the talk? What do you mean?
Well, the Lubavitch Rebbe is telling everybody to learn the Rambam now. So he's putting Chassidus versus the Rambam.
Are there any stereotypes that you can think of offhand that all religious people have?
In other words, something that is common to all
to
religious
all,
people.
Right, exactly.
No.
Psychological, that's what I'm saying. If you have opposites, it seems to me you couldn't make that kind of
thing. Not everything is opposite. Okay? But all those who refer to a religious faith system.
Yeah, I mean, what one
any person. Okay.
Could apply
I'm giving it to you. Any person who ascribes to a religious philosophy is looking for a sense of the eternal. He realizes that he is limited, and he wants to hitch his wagon to a sense of eternity. Okay? Now, how we get that, or you know, where we hitch our car is a different story. I may hitch my car to the eternity of writing a sefer. You may hitch your car to going ahead and teaching your children and your grandchildren. Now, when it comes to teaching children, I am the biggest chotei poshea. My children openly hold it against me that I am sitting here and I educated every one of your kids, in other words, from the previous generation, and the only ones whom I didn't have time to work with were my own kids. Not so with my daughter. She got lucky. Because I'm...
She's prettier.
She got lucky. No, it has nothing to do with it. I resent it entirely, you see. But I found my eternity elsewhere. I have 70,000 kids out there who today are probably 5,000, 6,000, or 7,000 families from. And Rabbonim and Talmidei Chachomim and so on and so forth, you see? But we all share that. You want your eternity in another way also. In some which way, we look to overcome our limitations. And every religious personality has that desire. That desire. Okay, now then we go further. Maybe I need Ben Adam Lachavero and you need Ben Adam Lamalkam, you see. So
it's the whole concept of stereotyping for people I don't like. I find it hard to
but then what you're saying is there's no science of psychology.
You do it all the time.
You're saying by that statement you're saying there cannot be a science of psychology. Because by definition or I don't know if it's by definition, but what psychologists are doing is first of all putting different people into broad categories.
Yeah, that's what they have to the whole.
And there would be no way to construct principles of human behavior, and you yourself in your thinking in your business would not be able to deal with your customers or with your business associates and with your family and with friends if you did not have implicit in your thinking a theory of psychological behavior. But if I say this, it's going to tick them off and I know it, I'm going to avoid the subject. You have it built in, but you haven't verbalized it.
Yeah, but that's not a classification. That's because you know
sure
certain
it is.
People. No, it's because you know certain people. You know certain people. You know they call up and you're going to tell them. You know.
You don't know which type of people not to tell certain jokes.
Well, not certain type of people. It's the person. It's the person. You talk to the person. I mean, after one person screams at you because because you sent out a form 2 days late, you know what kind of person he is. Not because he's a type, because you hear him scream, you know what's going to go together. I mean,
oh, I didn't hear that. Why does he scream? Why does he scream again?
Because this individual person has got a certain character trait.
No.
Not because he happens to have a beard, and all people with beards scream when you send them a form 2 days late. Joel saying this particular character has got a character trait that Joel knows whenever if he sends this guy a form 2 days late, this guy's always going to scream.
And I'll bet
why
you.
Why does that? Where does that fall into stereotyping came to with anybody else in the world?
And I will bet you dollars to donuts.
Joel may not even never seen this guy in his life.
Good. And I will bet you dollars to donuts that the chances are overwhelmingly that when he looks into his neshama, or if we could have an electrocardiogram of the neshama, and see how it records, he would be much more concerned. He would use much more mental energy in worrying about Zman Kriya Shema than the Kavon of the Kriya Shema itself. There's a famous story that's
you
told.
You know about this person who will scream with a form that is 2 days
yeah.
late?
Yeah. There's a famous story that's told by the with the Satmar Rebbe, where he had an Oreach, he had a guest, the night of the Seder. And the guest was a Litvish Talmud Chacham, who came to America before the whole family immigrated. He sat at the table and he's medayek like a Litvak to make sure that shear measures and estimates and it's just exactly on the top and the coast. And the Satmar Rebbe Zatzal taunted him for it. Is there enough? Goes on after Avakosis, he goes to the matzah. Okay, puts a watch down. You have to eat matzah within a certain says the bracha and he starts to eat. And he looks how much he ate, and every glance is how much he ate. And he's looking at the matzah again to see if he has to break another piece, breaks another piece. And he looks at every single bite he takes, he's looking at the matzah. Okay. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Satmar Rebbe looks at him and says, "Genug gegessen? You ate enough? Look. After matzah has to come mara." And he's doing the same thing with mara. And the Satmar Rebbe says, "Bitter genug? It's bitter enough for you?" Yeah. And by the third time, the guest realized what was going on here, and he says, "Shein genug litzanus?" And he finished enough with stopping at me. "Shein genug litzanus?" Well, the Satmar Rebbe being a tzaddik, though we may not share his philosophies of the Medina, the Satmar Rebbe begged Mechila from him and asked him not to leave. He wanted to know why he is truly here, and he said he came for Achnas Askala to marry off his daughter. He says, "You will not go anywhere else, and I will finance you and your other daughters also, as many as you have." You see, but here you see two types of personalities over here. There's no question about it that personality is misugal, is within the realm, the normative realm of screaming if you don't, if he doesn't get whatever he needs within the time that he conceives of getting it. There's no question about it. And it is such a vast science that I've discovered, not in the scientific realm, but that it applies so consistently in a scientific manner to the so-called religious personality. Why shouldn't they be consistent? Because somehow we don't believe that Torah is a function of our personality, or the way we choose from Torah is a function of our personality. Torah is min hashamayim, Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded it. Hu amar v'yehi, and that's it. Finish. I'm telling you, we choose based on what. No, but I'm telling you, we choose to emphasize those things based on our personality. Why? Why should it be a negative?
If Torah is an MS and you just sing, if Torah is only an MS and there is only one Derech HaYashar,
who says so?
That's what I'm saying.
Who says so?
Shivim Panim Torah.
Shivim Panim Torah. Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chaim. That's the strength of it. That's the whole strength of it. But to say that Beis Hillel had one perspective and Beis Shammai had another perspective, and that you're schmutz if you hold like Beis Hillel, because you're a conservative rabbi, okay?
If they would have passed like Beis Shammai, everyone agreed that you have to hold like Beis Shammai.
That's the standard. That is the standard. Don't deviate from it publicly.
That's it. Because you're talking about community organization. You're talking about community organization. Look, this is the famous machlokas with Rabbi Gamliel, when he wanted to control machshavos b'lev ish. And that's why they went ahead and asked him to step down from the nesiyos in Yavne. But it was a function of your personality, and this is important. Probably, as from Jews, one of the most important things that we can learn is an analysis, a printout, of what our personality needs are. And feed and flame those personality needs with the derech in the learning that we can, and choose, mamish choose, the drachim in learning, so that we'd be able to grow, and each one on his own ladder.
Isn't that self-knowledge? You're just
without
saying,
question.
You should know yourself.
Without question. In other words, self-knowledge is probably one of the finest things to know in the science of Torah, in the emes of Torah. The emes of Torah will blossom once you are capable of knowing yourself. And that's what he is saying. And if the Rambam wrote out of the depths of his personality, he was not a schizophrenic. He's not right. Okay, you can write to direct again, Chanoch Lanar al Pi Darko. But when he wrote such a sefer in the style that he did, he wrote it for Klal Yisrael. And it is as much Torah as anything else. And furthermore, if you don't accept it, fine. You're not allowed to scoff at it. It's Torah. Simple. My case rests. You want to continue? Yes, Hashem, next time.
I have a question. Talking about the stereotypes.
You have very good cake. I'll tell you what you have.
I'm not going to mention name in this community.
I will hope that you're not mentioning name.
I heard a comment that all Baal Tshuvas became Baal Tshuvas because they had a point in their life. They didn't like the way their life was going. They had a bad thing in their life. So that's why they became Baal Tshuva. It was something that all Baal Tshuvas didn't become Baal Tshuvas because they saw the light or, because of any positive aspects. There was always a negative aspect in the Baal Tshuva's life that made him turn to Yiddishkeit.
Therefore?
I take it as a negative comment towards Baal Tshuvas.
Obviously.
Do you agree that is that the...
It's absurd. Okay. I've worked in 75,000 Baal Tshuva. Okay,
that's my question.
There is there. You breathe.
That's what I like to say.
Okay, you breathe. Yeah, you drink
just
water.
With what you
okay,
want to
listen to me carefully. No way. No non-Baal Tshuva has a crisis in his life. Absurd. David HaMelech had a crisis probably every 3.5 days in his life. You know what it produced? Another parak of Tehillim. I'm in the depths of a crisis. I'm going off of my mind. You know what I did? I started to daven. So you say David HaMelech knew how to daven? Baloney. The nonsense. The cliche. There is no non-religious man in a foxhole. It's a life's crisis. It is taking that crisis and turning it into a response that will determine whether it is negative or positive. If your response is a blossoming growth process that allows you out of this crisis to relate all kinds of inordinate things, all kinds of crazy things, and put the puzzle together, then it's a positive thing. If, however, it results in certain neuroses, certain mishigasim, like, unfortunately, I have to see, and they pay me nice money for it. Okay? It becomes an obsession with them.
What do you mean?
Then the crisis...
Becoming religious.
Yeah. Then the crisis is insane. It's a function of personality disorder. I mean, this one absolute wild genius that I have met, he's down in Philadelphia. The last time I met him is when I spoke in Philadelphia about... could have been as much as 15 years ago. I met him then, I gave him some advice, I had to leave, and 15 years later, he's the same tutti frutti that he is today.
In regards to Frumkeit?
In regards to what his problems are with Frumkeit, the questions that he asks, are my hands sufficiently washed in the Tiras Yadayim? If I only have 8 ounces of water on each one, because I didn't realize, because I don't know if when I do that, when all the water gets through over here, you see, in every one of the surfaces of my fingers. Okay? Oyvei is right. Is that a religious crisis? Or is this a personality function? Okay, there's no question about it. Do Baalei Tshuva have crises that will point to personality difficulties? Yes, but I hate to tell you something. No more or no less than anyone who grew up FFB, from birth. All right? No more and no less. That is my considered opinion. There are people, by the way, who today, and this is a community crisis.
The missionaries, they always go to the weak.
Okay. Because you have good... Well, as
that's
a sale... Yes, but as a salesman, you go to the ones who need your help also.
Who's it reaching out to?
Yeah, but those who have life crises. And there is nothing wrong. There is nothing weak in having a life crisis. Nothing at all.
You're not denying the statement. You're just saying everyone has a life crisis.
I don't know of any... Oh, yeah, there's only one life that I know that has no crisis. That's when the cardiogram doesn't jump up anymore. No more crises. It's all straight. When you're on your way to Olam HaEmes. Where is there a day? Where is there a month that there isn't a crisis? You raise children? I hate to tell you that Chazal said this is a crisis. Tzar Gidul Bonim. Okay? The 9 months that your wife is carrying, this is a crisis. Chas v'sholom.
Does this crisis make a person come from a non-believer to a believer?
Some do. Depending on what the person is looking for.
Aren't these what you call Baal Tshuvas? Aren't they picking MS over Sheker and finally waking up and saying, this is the way I want to go?
Yes, but I'm saying that.
So isn't that a
crisis has to generate something.
Okay,
like that. Over a normal course of time.
The doctor told me if I don't lose 20 pounds, I'm liable to land up with a stroke. That's a crisis. Either you're going to face up to it, or you're going to eat yourself into depression where you put on 30 pounds. And you know you're destroying yourself. Simple. No different than a crisis to turn. Man is a social animal. To further demonstrate this, man is a social being. And if within a certain social context he has acceptability, he has been accepted, he's been smiled on, that's where you want to be. And if you walk into a Beis Medrash and 300 guys are smiling on you, that's where you want to be. That's addressing a kind of crisis, the crisis of aloneness, overcoming this, the greatest of all crises, the feeling of loneliness, of aloneness. The only way you overcome it is by attachment. Tell me, you walk into a shul, no one says good morning to you. How many more days during that week will you come into that shul? One more? One more? Not to go over and say Shalom Aleichem? Because I don't know who you are. I don't know your name. I don't know your face. Not to say Shalom Aleichem? You know what's at stake over here? A human being? You could be generating the biggest crisis in the human being's mind. Walks in. And this is a Klal Yisrael. This is an Eda. This is a Tzibur. This is a conglomerate. Not to say Shalom Aleichem? Gewalt. And if you do say Shalom Aleichem, so what? You're a Baal Tshuva, you're sick. If you've generated vibes, connection, right? The whole battle of life is just connection. You're a kid, you want to be connected to your parents. The anxiety of being disconnected
is only overcome when all of a sudden you reach a realization that you have a certain kind of sexuality. So what? So you're suddenly connected to Al Kenyazov Ovives Ishes Ovives Imo, and you're certainly connected with Dovak Ishto to a wife. Okay? And the ability to stay connected when there are children that may come in the middle, and the jealousies. And then you're connected to your children, and then your children separate and they go off to become a grandparent, to be connected, always to be connected. If you're disconnected and disjointed in business, you're going to be fired. But if you're connected, if you're within, you make it. The whole life is a series of crises of connections. So you're telling me this is a Baal Tshuva problem? It's off the wall. Elama, whoever your friend is simply saying he got his own peckle of tzaras and crises, and he's okay, you know? And Baal Tshuva is the only problem. He's the only problem. No, it's the same problem, but in a different style. It's as simple as that. And the Chosid doesn't have the same crisis, raises seven kids, that they should all go in the Derech HaYashar, should all be Chassidim. Do you know what kind of a crisis it is when one kid wants to go a little modern? You know what it means, modern? To put on a Yaakov yarmulke instead of a Yor yarmulke. Do you know what a crisis that is when the yarmulke changes? Do you know how many Chassidish parents I had to counsel on this? Try to get them to understand that you don't rip Kriya when someone puts on a knitted yarmulke? And they were ready to do it. Their whole world was shattered in front of them. Because after all, what did they want? They only wanted to raise seven children, and everyone should wear a shraimel and a bekisha, or at least be married to a shraimel and bekisha if she is Jewish. I mean, if she's a she. What's the matter with you? My case rests.
Ms. Kahn.